Today on the Pastor's Study, we're going to continue our series of lessons based on the Gospel of John. But before we begin today, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for being the great God that thou art. We thank you for this wonderful opportunity to open up thy very words. We pray for the Holy Spirit of God to be our guide and teacher today. We pray for the saint of God listening today, that these lessons would be an encouragement, strengthen them in the things of the faith, build them up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray for the lost soul that's never trusted Jesus Christ, shed blood and nothing else to save them, to pay for all their sins, past, present, and future, and secure them a home in heaven. We pray this would be the very day that by faith, that they place all their faith and trust in only Jesus Christ shed blood and nothing else to save them. And Father, with the angels in heaven, we'll rejoice over one sinner that repenteth this very day. And it's in Jesus' precious name we pray and we give thanks. Amen. All right, let's continue our devotional lessons based on the Gospel of John. We're in chapter 20 of John, and I want us to look at one verse to begin with today. John chapter 20, verse 21. Then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so I send you." An unsaved person could never fulfill God's work on earth. But when that unsaved person is converted, made new, then he is ordained and sent. Very few Christians ever realize that we are to take the place of Christ in this world. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, "Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us." Jesus said that he was sent by the Father, and then he said, "As my Father has sent me, even so I send you." We are to occupy in his stead until he comes. We are to fulfill his work and its desires until he comes back again. When we examine the purpose of our Lord's being sent, how he went about and what he did, then we realize how little we do and how much is demanded of us. Jesus said we are here for a purpose. Let us examine at least three reasons he was sent, and by the same reasons we are to keep on. First of all, he was sent as a light. He was sent as a light. In John chapter 8, verse 12, we read this, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." You see, it was truly a dark day when Jesus came. The heavens had been closed up, and there was no message from God. There was no prophet with a word from the Lord. The people of God were oppressed by the Roman government. Then Jesus, the light, came. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, we read this, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined." Jesus was sent as God's light to a dark world. But he fulfilled his work on earth, finished the work of redemption on the cross, and went back to heaven. Now he says, "As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." In fact, he said to his disciples, "Ye are the light of the world," in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. As the Father sent him to be the light, now we are to be the light. God knows there is only one flickering light left in the world, and that is the light of the gospel. Now, the second thing we want to see is he was sent in love. Jesus was sent in love. John chapter 3, verse 16. We read this, "For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." It was love that moved the heart of God to send his only Son into this sin-cursed world. It was love that withstood the hand of God when his Son was being tried that night before Pilate. They spit on him, crowned him with thorns, beat him with reeds, and mocked him. The climax of God's love came when Jesus cried out on the cross, "My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" You see, no mortal tongue can describe the great love of God that was manifested in the eternal plan of redemption. But Jesus says, "As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." As he was sent in love, so then are we sent in love to this world that is lost in sin. Amen. The way most church members act, you would think that God sent them to provoke trouble, to stir up bitterness, to spread gossip, to tear down testimonies. But this is not according to the words of the Lord. Jesus said, "As my Father has sent me, even so I send you." Third and last, he was sent with a longing. He was sent with a longing. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, we read this. "This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." You see, Jesus came into this world to rescue the perishing. Wherever he went and saw the need of souls that were perishing, he was moved with compassion. Notice what we read in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd." My Lord had a love for souls. His one desire was to bring them to know him as their Savior. His very joy was to make believers out of the lost. He stayed up at night to talk with Nicodemus. He went out of his way to meet a woman of Samaria at the well. He went through Jericho to reach Zacchaeus in the tree. If Jesus was sent with a longing for souls, then he says, "Even so send I you." Every Christian should be concerned about the lost and dying. If we are not willing to spend time every day trying to keep souls out of hell, then the Bible tells us that we are not doing what Jesus sent us for. If the Father sent him to love and witness to lost humanity, then he sent us for the same reason. The sent one. Christian, we are here for a purpose. I ask you, what are we doing about it? Amen. Now let's continue our lessons in the Gospel of John. We're in chapter 20. Let's look at verse 24. In verse 24 of John 20, we read this, "But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The evening of the resurrection day was one to be remembered. You see, the hearts of the disciples were full of fear and wonder at the things that had happened. They had met with closed and bolted doors for fear of the Jews. While they were talking over the situation, Jesus suddenly appeared among them, removing all doubt and fear. He spake peace unto them and breathed upon them the Holy Spirit." The sad part of the evening is told in verse 24. Thomas, one of the 12, was not with them. There are a lot of things we missed out in this life because we weren't there. But there are some things in the future that God has for them that love him, and I do not want to miss them. First of all, I don't want to miss the service. The service. Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, we read this. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. A lot of church members seemingly are content to be absent when the church services are going on. But for me, I want to be there. I don't want to miss the service. Even if two or three are gathered in the Lord's name, he is going to be in the midst to bless. I don't want to miss the blessing, amen? You may never know when some saint will just meet a certain condition where God opens the window of heaven. The second thing is I don't want to miss the shout. I don't want to miss the shout. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17, we read this. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. When the shout comes from on high, that will wake up the dead and cause gravity to let go of the Christian. I want to be there, amen. Elijah told the young prophet, Elisha, how the Lord was coming after him. And Elisha said, as the Lord liveth, I want to see it. Elijah said he was going to three different places, Bethel, Jericho, and Jordan. Each time Elisha said, as the Lord liveth, I will not leave thee. Elisha was there when the chariot came, and he saw Elijah taken up. When Jesus comes, I don't want to be just a spectator. I want to be a participant. Amen? We won't need a three-stage rocket, a spacesuit, or a parachute. It will be a one-way trip. Amen? Something else I don't want to miss. I don't want to miss the supper. I don't want to miss the supper. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 9, we read this. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. When the great supper is spread in the sky, I want to be there. It will be a great day when the saints of all ages sit down together. In Matthew 8, verse 11, we read this. And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. We are all accustomed to dinners, reunions, family affairs, and special occasions. There is a renewing of acquaintances and the spreading of the table, but there is no thing to compare with the supper in the sky. Number four, I don't want to miss the saddle. I don't want to miss the saddle. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 16, we read this. And he hath on his vestures and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Christ came the first time to be smitten of men, to suffer and die. The next time he comes to the earth, he will come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The Bible tells us he will ride a white horse, and we will follow him on white horses. In Revelation 19, in verse 14, we read this. In the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. You see, I don't want to miss my place in the saddle of that white horse, coming back to earth with him. It will be far better to be watching from the saddle rather than wailing from the earth. Amen. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, we're reminded, it says this, Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. That's right, I don't want to miss the saddle. That's right. I don't want to miss the service. I don't want to miss the shout. I don't want to miss the supper. I don't want to miss the summit. I don't want to miss the summit. Revelation chapter 20, in verses 1 to 3, we read this. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. The devil has always hindered us, discouraged us, told us not to pray, not to read the Bible, and not to live for the Lord. I sure don't want to miss the time when the angel binds that serpent and puts him away for 1,000 years. With the binding of the devil, the earth will enjoy the blessings again. You see, the ferociousness of the beast will vanish. Wars will never come. The knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth as the water covers the sea. The curse on the earth will be removed, and Jesus will rule and reign on this earth. The Bible assures the child of God that we, who are faithful in our service for Him, will rule and reign with Him. And I don't want to miss that. And number 6, and finally, I don't want to miss the singing. I don't want to miss the singing. In Revelation 21, in verse number 2, we read this. And I, John, saw the holy city, a new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for a husband. You see, my dear friend, after the 7 years tribulation, 1,000 years reign, John saw a new heaven and a new earth. And then he saw the holy city. Oh, yes, the holy city coming down from God out of heaven. Amen. John gives us a glorious picture of that city where the streets are of gold, the walls of jasper, and the gates of pearl. You see, there is an everlasting joy in that city. The inhabitants of this place are singing a new song. The singing will be of Him, the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. And I don't want to miss the singing. Amen. That's right, I don't want to miss the service. I don't want to miss the shout. I don't want to miss the supper. I don't want to miss the saddle. I don't want to miss the summit. And I don't want to miss the singing. Things I can't afford to miss. There is only way we can be assured of being there when these events take place, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, my dear friend, Jesus paid the price for every sinner. That's right, every sinner at Calvary. Now let's continue in John chapter 20, and we'll look at verses 30 and 31. John chapter 20, we read this. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. A peasant was sitting by the road reading a Bible when his religious leader, who didn't accept the Bible, passed and rebuked him for reading the Bible. He told the peasant that he was ignorant and couldn't understand it. The peasant replied, "Sir, I am authorized to read this book. I have a search warrant." The religious leader was angry and said, "What do you mean by a search warrant?" "Well, sir," said the peasant, "Jesus Christ says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are which testify of me." John, near the end of his writing, says that all Jesus did was not written, but what was written was for one purpose, and that was that we might believe. There are three important truths given here that we will use for the lesson. The first one is the record. The record. We read these words in our passage. These are written. John was saying that as the Holy Spirit moved upon him, He wrote his gospel. My dear friend, the record is clear before us so that none could claim any excuse. He wrote about Jesus. You see, he wrote about the plan he made. He wrote about the plan he made. In John chapter 3, verse 3, we read this. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In God's great plan, there is one necessity, and that is to be born again. This new birth places us in the family of God. Not only did he wrote about the plan he made, he wrote about the price. Yes, the price he paid. And John chapter 3. That's right, John chapter 3, verse 16. We read this, For God so loved the world. Why? How did he love the world? That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. My dear friend, here is one of the greatest parts of John's record. It is a theme of his book. It is a theme of the whole Bible. My dear friend, not only did John write, he wrote about the plan he made, he wrote about the price he paid, and three, he wrote about the place he prepares. He wrote about the place. Yes, the place he prepares. In John chapter 14, verse 2, we read this. Jesus said, In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. You see, when the disciples were so troubled about the words of the Lord, he gave them a new hope as he told them of the prepared place for prepared people. So we've looked at the record. Now we want a second of all, we want to look. That's right, look at the reason. Look at the reason, my friend. We read this, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Again, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Amen. John sums up his entire book up to one point. That it might be the message that would bring sinners to believe on Jesus. You see, we have books of instructions to cover every area of our life. A first aid book is almost a necessity in the home. Then, how to do it books are numerous on the market and are of great help. But there is only one book that gets us ready for life after death. And that is the written Word of God. Again, the reason John wrote what he wrote was that you and I might believe, and all the world, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And then number three, the results. The results. And that believing ye might have life through his name. Again, in that believing, ye might have life through his name. You see, a lost person is dead in trespasses and sin. He is without life until he becomes a believer in Jesus Christ. When a sinner comes to Jesus, he experiences the new birth, bringing life everlasting. In the 10th chapter of John's writing, he said this about the coming of Jesus. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. This is a glorious testimony of every child of God. We not only have life, but we have the abundant life. So, my dear friend listening today, yes, the devil will tell you that you're living the good life, that the world has everything to offer, that you just need to reach out and grab it. That's the ploy of the devil. to blind the minds to the light of the glorious gospel. Is that right? That's right. Because he doesn't want to discuss things about what's going to happen after this life. He wants to put a big question mark. He wants to leave it as an unknown. He doesn't want you to deal with it right now, the here and now. Because there's going to be a lot of people, when their life ends on this earth, and as they breathe their last breath, the next moment they wake up in a literal burning fire. See? Devil's not going to tell you that. He's going to paint this great picture. He'll tell you there are many roads to heaven. Amen. All religion is the same. There's nothing to worry about as long as you're a good person. All of these things that you hear are to get your mind off of the next life, life eternal. And there's only the other thing is he doesn't want you to read the Bible because the Word of God is a source of truth. Jesus said as he prayed to the Father in John 17:17, sanctify them by thy truth, thy word is truth. You want the truth about anything, go to the Word of God. Open up your King James Bible. Everything is in there that you need to know what God wants you to do, how to live for him. He'll tell you about himself. He'll tell you everything about this world and every trick that the devil has in his arsenal. But thank God that John, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote the Gospel of John. As he said in John chapter 20, verse 31, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that believing ye might have life through his name. Thank God. Yes, thank God for the record. Thank God for the record. These are written. Thank God for the reason that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And thank God for the results, that believing ye might have life through his name. So we have the record, the reason, the results of the word. It has been written. The question that I ask you today is, have you believed it? Have you believed it? One of the books that God's going to open up, I believe, is the Holy Bible. And you're not going to be able to stand before him and say, I never knew any of this. He's going to say, Bibles, gospel tracts, gospel literature, especially in the United States of America, were always plentiful. There's no excuse. If you've listened to this broadcast today, amen, you will stand before God and have no excuse. Because I have put it over the plate. I have put the cookies on the lower shelf so you can get at them, so you can understand them. Again, you want to have your sins washed away? You want your sins forgiven, past, present, and future? Know when you die you're going to heaven, my dear friend? Then you need to take whatever you're trusting in and believing in and put it on the Lord Jesus Christ in his shed blood and nothing else to save you. Put all your eggs. I put all my eggs in one basket over 20 years ago. I put them all my eggs in one basket in Jesus Christ. And I know when I die that I will forever be in his presence. Will you forever be in his presence, my dear friend? Well, we're right out of time on the Pastor Study today. This is Brother Gino Cassieri. Thank you once again for joining me today for the Pastor Study. Until we meet again, my prayer is that God would richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.